T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I've joked every time we've had Michael McCann on that it won't be long before have a reason to have him back on, because sports and law seem to intersect a lot and has over the last number of years. Michael joining us on the line right now. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dale. And yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Every time you write about things, I learn brand new terms. I had never heard the term constructive possession until yesterday. What does that mean?
Well, it means it can be in a lot of contexts, but here it's about drug possession. And a lot of people are saying, well, Chung was arrested for possession of cocaine. But possession doesn't necessarily mean the drugs were actually on him. It could mean they were found in an area that he's responsible for. So if he was not there when the police came, and instead he was far away, and yet they saw drugs in the house, he's then arguably responsible for the drugs, and he therefore has constructive possession of them. So that's the difference. And if it's constructive possession, his lawyers are going to have some arguments, possibly, that they're going to raise.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that the police have to prove that they were his drugs?
That's right. They have to prove that they were in a location that he has authority over and that he's responsible for. So, if somebody pulls you, if the cops pull you over and they see drugs in the back seat, the drugs aren't actually on you, but you're responsible for your car and they're near you. The further the person is from the location in terms of sort of authority, the better the argument that they're not his. Now, here, if this house belongs to him, it may be difficult to show that he's not responsible for them, but we don't know a lot. We don't know who else has been in the house. Were there guests? Were they found in a part of the house that he normally doesn't check? We also don't know exactly how the police saw the drugs. Were they in plain view? Or did it require some rummaging through his belongings? Because there are a lot of things we don't know that will have an impact.
Well, and obviously it's not like he tested positive for a banned substance where it's pretty cut and dry what kind of suspension you're going to get, especially if you're already on the drug list for the league. So how would the league, do you think, go about potentially punishing Patrick Chung? What would they need to find?
Yeah, Rich, so if a player acknowledges or admits to possession of illegal drugs, he can be suspended up to four games. And here, if Chung does a plea deal so that he essentially doesn't go to prison and gets a lesser type of punishment, probation, a fine, something along those lines, he then would be acknowledging that he has responsibility for those drugs. And the league could then say, well, look, you admitted it through a plea deal. You're now suspended for 4 games. But I don't think the league is going to do anything for the immediate future, because we haven't heard what his defense is. It's possible that they're not his or that he's not responsible for them. We know it went to a grand jury, so he wasn't arrested on the spot. And we don't know, you know, being indicted by a grand jury obviously is a bad thing, but that's not the same thing as being convicted. In a criminal trial, there has to be a unanimous jury vote to convict someone. There has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, with an indictment, it's 12 grand jurors. We don't know how many were on the grand jury. They could get to 23. And they're looking for probable cause rather than beyond a reasonable doubt. Also, grand jury proceedings are run by the prosecution. So it's really a wait and see. I don't think the league is going to do anything. I think the harder question is whether the Patriots might react to one of their players being charged with a felony.
We're talking to Michael McCann, UNH law professor and sports legal analyst for Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Patrick Chung was indicted for what is a Class B felony. It carries a possible maximum punishment of 3.5 years to 7 years in prison, as you pointed out. It's pretty unlikely that would ever come to pass, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the max. There's no way he would get 7 years in prison. He's going to be sentenced to incarceration. It would be a much shorter sentence than that. And I have a feeling his lawyers will, if the lawyers feel like they've got him, they'll try to negotiate a plea deal so that it's a minimal sentence or that he avoids any kind of jail time.
What kind of chances would all of this get delayed anyway? And even if he does get some sort of punishment, significant or otherwise, it would happen after this upcoming football season.
Yeah, that's the most likely. Unless he does a plea deal earlier. I mean, that's the part we don't know. He may, obviously he wants to time it so that it is the least disruptive effect on his NFL career. But if his lawyer says they're offering a deal now and it's October, take it before they pull it away, he may not have a choice. He may not be able to time it so that it works best for the Patriots or so that it minimizes the chances for him missing games this season.
Yeah, so I guess my question would be, you hear about this now, and obviously this happened, you know, a couple of months earlier, but we're hearing about it now, and the one thought would be, well, if he is going to miss games, it'd be the first four games, and then he'd move on. But do you think there's a scenario where something finally happens in the middle of the season, and then all of a sudden he has to serve time during the middle of the year?
Possible. Yeah, it's possible. Now, if he's sentenced to any kind of jail or prison time, it may not be immediate. The judge could postpone it until after the season ends, but then the judge will get criticized for treating an athlete preferentially over a regular person. So the judge, whoever the judge is going to end up having some lots of things to consider in protecting his or her reputation. So lots of moving pieces. And also, let's say the drugs aren't Patrick Chung's and he knows who they are. Is he going to tell the police, oh, yeah, it's so-and-so's? That he might now be more willing to do it because he's been charged with a felony, but that's not necessarily an easy thing either.
My understanding is, from a legal point of view, he would be required to submit himself for photographs and fingerprints. He is scheduled to be arraigned next Wednesday. And generally speaking, do you have to be in person when you're arraigned?
If he's going to be, you don't normally have to. You can waive it. But if he's going to be there for booking and related procedures, he'll probably be there.
So on how big a deal is this, I guess, overall would be my question. Because when it first came out yesterday, obviously a cocaine possession charge is not nothing. But in the grand scheme of things, I was thinking that Patrick Chung was still going to play this whole football season. And, you know, but after reading your article, I'm really not sure. So where do you come down on this? What do you think is going to happen?
It's hard to know, honestly. Yeah. I don't mean to punt on it, but there's so few facts that have been made known. It's true. A very generic description of how the drugs were found. What exactly is his relationship to this house? How often is he there? Who else is there? When was he last there? How did they find the drugs? Did they see it in plain sight? There's just like 50 variables that we don't know. So it's really hard to project what's going to happen. And of course, we haven't heard his side. I mean, we haven't heard if he says these aren't mine. I don't know who they are. There are other people in the house, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there are a lot of ways this could go. And he's going to certainly try to minimize the effect on his career, but if he ends up doing a plea deal, he's gonna get a 4-game suspension, I would imagine.
We should point out that there were multiple reports out there that said that he was not at home at the time, June 25th, when this happened. Police responded to an alarm that had gone off at his home. And we should point out also, Michael, that if police arrive at an empty house but with an alarm going off, they do have the right to go in at that point.
They do, because they have to investigate if there was a burglary. They have to walk around the house and there's some breaking and entering. That's why we get an alarm system, right, is for that reason. And the idea that they could enter the house, unless they could assess that there was no break-in and it was unnecessary to enter the home, I don't know. But I think the issue is going to end up not being that whether they could get in, like you noted, because there's an alarm system that apparently went off. But what did they do inside, or and how exactly did they find these drugs? I mean, just how were they in plain sight? Did it require going through his stuff? Should they have been going through his stuff? I mean, who knows? There's so many facts. There's so many ways the story could change radically depending upon what we learn.
And that's just it, Michael. So he is set to be arraigned on August 28th, so that is next Wednesday. So at that point, we will know a little bit more about, you know, what the prosecutors know and what Chung is really facing here?
We will, because at the arraignment, the prosecution provides the facts to the defendant. And at that point, the prosecution will indicate its evidence, or some of it, whether there's any witness testimony. We'll likely get a police narrative. We'll get a lot more stuff at that time. So we'll find out. I think we'll get more insight, certainly, on how they saw these drugs. And also, how many drugs were there? I mean, we know that there was cocaine, but how much of it? Who knows?
Michael, we always appreciate the time and the expertise. And as I always say to you, there will be something else soon, I'm sure.
That's right. Definitely. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks Michael. Michael McCann, UNH Law Professor.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.